Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Just close your eyes quickly. It's the beginning of the year. It's a new season. But there's one that's constant, that never changes. And he's actually super excited about 2017, but more than that, he is super excited about you. Today I sense God saying, we cannot encounter him through a worship song, we cannot encounter him through a sermon, we cannot encounter him through a church service. We should encounter him face to face as the person of Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit, God the Father. So as you're sitting there, I want you to imagine you walking to the throne room. The Bible says, Hebrews, the writer says, we can, with confidence, with boldness, in Afrikaans, vrymoedigheid, we can come into the throne room, to the throne of grace. So I want you to walk up to the God that we love, the constant one. See him there sitting. Lord, I ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, you'll start speaking to people. Give them visions that will not only last for 2017, but will last till they die. Now, right now, in this very moment, Jesus. Give them a picture that will carry them through difficult times. Give them a picture that will make them excited about who you are and about your kingdom. Just in your own words, just communicate to God. Say, God, I receive that. Or, I receive your smile. I receive your touch. I receive your embrace. I receive the blank check. I receive your resources. I receive. Just open yourself to that. Thank you, Jesus. We lift up your name. You are our King, but you also are Dad. Amen. Okay. Who of you maybe just raise your hand? Who of you experienced something about God now for the first time in 2017? No, I'm joking. Okay, great. So you need to write that down and you need to take that with you. Okay, the kinderkerk, the kids, you can go. If you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. But I think they have an amazing program there. Hello, I'm Amo Kennedy, and it's such a privilege to be here with you, with my friend Andries and Lisa. I love what they're doing. I love this church. I'm from George in the Garden Route. So it says a lot about a man from the Garden Route that comes to Armanus for holiday. Because most of people go that way for holiday. So Andries, I just want to honor you and Lisa for what you're doing here. And while we were at the intercession before the time, in prayer, I just felt to honor you for especially just stewarding the gift of evangelism and also intercession. Just people have been praying, not only you, but the people before you, praying into this church and into this place called the Armanus. Because most people come here to rest, and God loves rest, but people are sending an army from this place. They actually, you're planting a church in Malawi next year, huh? June. This year. This year. So that's very exciting. And then I just want to welcome a few other guests. My two omas is hier so. Hulle is daar iewers. Oma Sini en Oma Hena. Sorry, I'm a bit of a cry baby. I feel so blessed. I feel blessed that I know Jesus. I feel blessed that I was born into that amazing family. I feel blessed that I have a beautiful wife and three kids. Just feel blessed. Who of you feel blessed in the beginning of this year? So I'm just gonna carry on with the theme of New Year and the new resolutions. New Year resolutions that most of you probably have already done. Maybe you've already have a list. Maybe you have one. But this new season that we're going in, that we call 2017, God's excited about that, and so can we. And many times in the beginning of the year, we set ourselves out to change something. You want to change that habit of eating too much, because you've now het overdaad gepleeg die 25ste op Kersfees, and you've sort of carried it on until last night, 12 o'clock, and now you're going to go on to into your diet. But something, you want to change something. And some of you maybe have bigger plans for this year. You want to love your husband more. You want to love your children more. You want to start a new business. And all of that is great. And I believe that God works in seasons. He works in calendar years like that. He uses it for the furtherance of his kingdom. And there's a grace to do that. But so many times we get to the end of Jan and we're like, wow, I've started eating again, or I started swearing at my children again, or I got angry with my boss, or I'm back into that same loop of just nothingness, and I'm so frustrated. So I want to start this year with a message that will bring hope. It says, you can live differently. The byline actually says, you can live differently and change the world. So we're going to leave that part. We're just going to focus on, you can live differently. Just as an introduction, that story, there was a girl who came to my wife and I. She's a friend, came into her house. She was visiting George. And she said, Amo, I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with all these things. And I was trying to tell her, hey, it is fine. And she kept on reminding me, but that's not the promise of the word. I was trying to tell her, hey, maybe just let's pray about it. But she kept on reminding me about what the word says, that you should, that you can live differently, that she's actually, it's God's intent for her to live different than what she's currently experiencing. And it stood out for me that she believed that she could live differently. And my wife and I, we prayed for her, a few demons manifested, and she got delivered from lots of stuff, and she experienced the thing that she believed is true. She experienced it physically in her body, and she encountered the goodness of God, and she started living differently. It's still a process of healing, a process of changing the way that she thinks, but she started living differently. And that's the God that we serve, is a God that is able to deliver in all the promises that He has given us through the Word. And we should renew our mind according to what He says, not to what we feel or what the world says. So I'm going to give you one key, and I've found it to be a very helpful key. In George, we've seen amazing things happening in our church. The other day I was telling my staff, the things that we are experiencing in terms of God just moving in our midst is the things that I'm dreaming, that I've dreamt of for a couple of years. Just people being touched by the Holy Spirit, especially young people, and not waiting for the next church service to evangelize their friends, but actually going to the schools and evangelizing their friends in such a way that they even get into trouble for doing that. It's the kind of things that I've been dreaming of, not wanting to take somebody through encounter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, and after 3 years, people are ready then to take out the gospel. No, I believe that God, like in the book of Acts, He He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people should get saved right there and then because of His presence, because of Jesus being proclaimed. So the key is this. We need to become more spiritual. We need to become more spiritual. And some of you are really thinking, man, I've had this spiritual nonsense before. Where's the practical application? And unfortunately, some of us have gone that route. And even the church, in many regards, we've gone that route. We're so spiritual that we have no practical application. There's no measurable thing that's happening because of the spiritual experiences that we have. But I sense that God's taking us back to the roots. The church was born when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was a spiritual entity from the word go. We need to become more spiritual. And the word that the Bible used, the concept that the Bible used for the spiritual reality that we need to tap in, is called the kingdom of heaven. We sang about it just now. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. We should be more heavenly minded. So turn to the person next to you, say, you are a spiritual being, you need to be more spiritual. Second Corinthians 4:18 says this. Paul is writing to a church that is already very spiritual, and he's saying this. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He says, hey guys, it's amazing what's happening. And the context is actually that they're suffering. It's amazing what's happening in your church. But remember, this world that we're living in, this is not the end goal. This is not the primary thing that we created for. This is the primary thing that we're created for. This is the world that we long for. But this world should come down as we were singing, heaven on earth. So how do we get to this place? In my walk with people and leading people in this way, and even our church at the moment, I found that there are two obstacles that people need to sometimes jump over. Sometimes it's a massive wall because they've got hurt through these two obstacles. The one is worldliness. We have become so infatuated with what we own, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the kind of things that we can do in this world, that we struggle to engage in the heavenly realm, that we struggle to see the spiritual, to struggle to focus on what Jesus did on the cross, because it's actually lekker. There's lekker op George, there's lekker op Hermanus, wherever you come from, there's lekker. There's so many things to do, and I love adventure. I love doing stuff with my friends, with my family. I love this world. I love driving, cycling with Andries, and I still remember that time that I pushed him up a hill. I was just the only time that I pushed him up a hill. I love all of that. But that is gifts that God has given us. But that's not the giver. And that's not the place where the giver resides primarily. He wants to come and penetrate those realms. He wants to penetrate the realm of entertainment. He wants to penetrate the realm of education, of everything we do. But we need to focus first on that before we can bring it down to this. The second thing that I've found people that's an obstacle for that is just fear. Some of you have experienced that. You walk into a charismatic church. So my dad's here. I can tell the story. My dad's a Dominie. My grandfather's a Dominie. And my dad has four brothers. Three of them are Dominies. And the one that's sitting there, he was actually a teacher, but now he's also in the ministry. So that's my background. I walk into Shofar in Stellenbosch, and there people are just going wild. They're jumping, and they're raising their hands, they're screaming out, and it's your year of increase like we did this morning, and like, wow, it's a little freaky, because I wasn't used to that. Now my dad has a massive, he has big deliverance ministry. He's more spiritual, more charismatic than I, the and me, the spirit of the charismatic pastor. And I remember taking my friends on this journey from, you know what, it's not only reading the word, it's not only praying, but it's actually experiencing the Holy Spirit in you. It's actually giving that away, going out on mission trips, or even just when you fellowship with your friends, praying for them, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and the gifts. I remember in walking that road with people, and some people get afraid because it's stuff that they've never seen in their life. Some of you have been wakened up in your spiritual senses in an ungodly way when you were younger. And the moment you lay your head down on your pillow, you start experiencing demonic dreams. And because of that, you are afraid to go into that realm of the Spirit. And sometimes as a church, we focus so much on the negative. Do you know that there are twice as many angels than there are demons? Do you know that God, the one who is merciful, the one who is gracious, the one who sits on the throne, the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross, resides as a spiritual personality in heaven? And he is accessible through the door of Jesus Christ. He's accessible to us. So if you cut yourself off from this spiritual reality that's more real than the chair you're sitting on, you're cutting off yourself from the life source. And that's like pulling the plug or the charger from your phone and trying to phone for the whole day long. You're going to end up dry, not useful. So we need to become more spiritual. Are you ready for this? So let's start from the beginning. I love it. Genesis 1. I'm going to jump around just to give you the big picture on the spiritual reality. In a sense, this is really just the introduction to something, to a start of a journey that hopefully most of you will continue until the end of time. I remember studying theology at the Kweek School there in Stellenbosch, and they gave us this book. It's called The Introduction to the Old Testament. But it was thicker than the Old Testament itself. So this is just the introduction to this reality that's accessible through Jesus. Genesis 1 verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering. The Spirit of God was hovering. The Spirit of God was first. God was first. Then came the created reality. God created from this spiritual realm. He created what we can see. That means God is more real than this. God is more real than the chair you're sitting on. God is more real than the car you're driving. And all of that is accessible to us. But it's a change of mind that needs to happen. So it's first the Spirit, then came the created reality. It's the reality of His presence. It's His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is more real than the kingdom of this earth. So what we're seeing, what's going on in your life, the situations that you're facing, in a way, it's what Andres explained so beautifully. In the kingdom of heaven, you see the light because the king is on his throne. But then you dive through the clouds and suddenly you realize, but there's a storm. But God says, this is the place that I'm reigning. And my people are called by my name, supposed to be seated in heavenly places, Ephesians tells us. So the spiritual is more real than the natural. And Jesus is the door. John 6, it says, I am the door. So if you're an engineer, or you think practically, What does that mean? It means there's a door, and if you open the door, it leads somewhere. Jesus is the door into this new reality. Jesus is the door to God, to His very presence. Jesus is the door into His kingdom. Jesus is the door. And the moment we step through it, the moment we build relationship with Jesus, the moment we receive His salvation, that door is opened and we can walk through that door. But because of the old, of what happened in the Garden of Eden, this reality is, it's difficult to access because there's sin. There's the devil trying to keep our eyes closed. The devil's trying to show us the bad world and forget to show us, he's not forgetting, he knows the great God, the good God that we serve. And also because of our sinful nature, if we haven't met Jesus, we are still sinful. But when we meet Jesus, we are new creations. We become holy. We can access that heavenly glory of who Jesus and of who God is. But because of our sinful nature, it actually becomes a scary thing to come into the presence of God. If we look at 1 Chronicles 13 verse 10, Uzzah, the man touching the ark, he died because he touched the ark. The ark represented the glory of God. So this presence thing, the glory of God is not a thing that we should be lightly, it's an awesome thing. But then Jesus came and he said, I paid the price so that you can become holy. And the goal of his death on the cross was not so that we can become holy or so that we can become forgiven. That's part of the package. His goal was for us to be reconciled to a loving dad that's been drawing, that's been inviting us all the way along into this new reality of his kingdom. He's not only taking something, your sin away, but he's also inviting you into his love, into his mercy and into his grace. And if you're sitting here, who of you feel that you need more love? Some of you have been complaining about your husband not giving you love. God, Jesus, paved the way for that, for you to be fully fulfilled in your love. Jesus paid that price so that we can be fully fulfilled. So we can receive mercy, so we can receive grace, so we can be empowered to change this world. Not only to change your life and live a little differently, but to change this world. In other words, his death made a way. He became the door into God's presence, the spiritual reality, the fullness of his kingdom. And this kingdom is a spiritual entity. But for those who know how to properly engage with this kingdom, it has infinite value in this present age. This idea that we can reach our hand into heaven and pull down the resources that we need for his kingdom. We are not of this world, but we're in this world. My dad gave me a book on deliverance, a guy called Charles Craft. He said for him it's so unnerving to realize that so few Christians know the power that they have when they know Jesus. And he was talking to this girl who came from the occult, and this girl told him, said, the moment she entered into that realm, seeing from a demonic point of view, seeing the different power, like she could see the power in a person's life, she would look at a Christian, she would be afraid because there was so much power on that Christian. But after a while, she realized that guy never, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the authority that he can walk in. He doesn't know the resources that's available for them. And I feel we're so ignorant as a church for what is available to us. We try to teach our kids to almost live in that realm, or to not be like, okay, now it's spiritual and now it's natural. Everything is intertwined. There's no, this dichotomy, and it should go. It's, there's everything is intertwined. So we tell them stories. I tell them stories at night. Hey, Eva, Nicholas, you know what? This. And then I bring in an angel, and this happens, and they lay hands on people, and people get healed, and they're always the heroes of the story. So the other day we were driving, and sometimes they use it against you, so I'll just give you a little illustration of that. So we were driving, and Eva, my little daughter, 4 years old, she lets go of this big one. I turn around and say, Eva, for a princess, that's not really a nice thing to do. The loss of Venki. She closes her eyes and she prays a little prayer and she says, Jesus, am I allowed to loss of Venki? And she opens her eyes and she says, Papa, Jesus say, Macy's mag my Venki's loss. So sometimes it gets used to get, but for me it's just I want to allow them to interact with that in a very easy way. And my daughter has had one very significant dream, and she has had some encounters with who God is that would not have been possible if she knew it was so easy. Because it is so easy. So we have this blank check. I like it, Willem. Thanks for giving me that illustration. Blank check. But we don't know it exists inside our pockets. And it's not a blank check for yourself. That's selfish. It's a blank check for everyone else. It's to be generous. To give it away. What you've received spiritually, you can give it away. If you've have had breakthrough in alcohol addiction, if you had breakthrough in pornography like myself, you can give it away. You can say, hey, man, I struggled. You can just give it away because you have a blank check. And the moment you walk into a room, you change the atmosphere because you bring the atmosphere of heaven into that room. It's an amazing experience. So on either side of this door, what do you get? The first thing is you get God. God's on the other side of that door. When you go through Jesus, it's God, relationship with God. And it's so important that we don't long for the things of God, but that we long for God himself. We're just infatuated with who he is. And the more you spend time with him, the more you want to get to know him. It's that thing of being satisfied in your relationship with God, but always hunger for more. The same as you would be with your wife or your husband. I'm satisfied with my relationship with my wife, but I know I need to pursue her more because there's so much more gold that God wants to give me through her. It's God. And the moment you encounter the goodness of God, your mind starts changing. It's God rewires it to think differently, and therefore you can live differently. Metanoia, the concept for repentance, the Greek word for repentance means to change your mind. So the moment your mind goes, your whole life goes with that. Romans 2:4, it says, it's the goodness of the Lord that leads people to repentance. It's the goodness of the Lord. It's so overwhelming good that you need to change the way that you live. In our church, we have a saying, we say, sin is stupid. I don't want to say it's even wrong. It is wrong, but it's, for me, stupid is a better word. Because it's stupid. Why would you want to waste your life on sin? Because you're spoiling the best thing that you can have, and that's your relationship with God. It is stupid. So the moment you get and introduce people to the goodness of God, they've gone through the door, they meet with God, they can suddenly run with the understanding, the intimate knowledge that God is with them. So that's the first thing that you'll experience. And I'm just giving you a few. There's so much more. Go and explore it yourself. And tell Jesus you want more of him and you want to showcase it to the world. The second one is, for me, very important. You'll get new glasses, a new vision. God will install a new vision. Isaiah 6 verse 3, it says, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the context there is of Isaiah being in the throne room of God, and he's seeing these angels. So it's the presence of God, and he falls flat on his face, and these angels are singing. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. It's sort of what Andy's experienced. He was sitting there, wow, it's an amazing day. And he dives through the clouds like, wow, it's not that amazing. And when you live from that place, you can see the glory in everything. It's those people that we envy, but we also don't like speaking to. They're going through this very, very difficult trial and they're like, wow, I can just see how God's growing me in this area. I can see God's moving and He's taking this thing that I'm really been struggling with and He's using it for the good of His glory. It will give you different glasses the moment you enter into His goodness. Every curse becomes a blessing. You're not only going through your difficult time, you're growing through your difficult time. You know how frustrated the devil gets when he says, hey, give a difficult time to Andres, and Andres takes that difficult time and like, wow, wow, this is amazing. I'm getting to grow. I'm getting to grow. I'm going to be faster, better at everything I do because of this trial. The devil's going, I'm never going to send him a trial again. It's all about, it's perspective. It's a perspective. And it changes the way that you look at other people too. When somebody comes to me and they're arrogant, they're proud, full of pride, I look at them and I see, most of the time, it's a generalization, brokenness. Because if you're full of pride, you want to hide something. What do you want to hide? You want to hide your brokenness. And also different glasses in the way that you look at yourself. I'm not a useless, nonsense little boy that can do nothing. No, I'm God's son. Because I've gone through the door. And I've seen the King of Glory and He has called me by a name. He said, Amo, I am yours. You are mine. I back you. I back you. The other day I was just struggling with a sermon. Didn't know if the sermon was going to go off that well. Didn't think it was the best sermon ever. And I was standing in the shower and I said, God, just speak to me. And I sense God tapping me on the shoulder. God didn't fit into the shower. He's too big, but just, you know what I mean? So he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Amo, you're my son. And I ran with it. If the God of the universe tells you, you're his son. Different perspective. Third one is you'll experience a war. And sometimes that's a frightening experience until you see on which side you're on. Obviously, if you're in the world and you're going to experience that war, you're going to see you're on the wrong side. And you're going to change sides. And you change it through Jesus. Change it through repentance. Say, sorry, God, I move on. You walk in the light and you go in that direction. But it's a war. There's a war raging. There's a war for the souls of people. You're like, and I'm actually on the victorious one's side. He's already won the battle. All I can do, I can just enforce the battle. Sometimes we pray too much. We plead with God. God, just change my circumstances. God is calling you to just change it. God didn't actually tell us to pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. There's authority that comes with you. The moment you experience this warfare, not everybody gets excited about that. I get excited about that. My dad gets excited about that. I know our whole family gets excited about, hey, the devil hates us. And we know that God is with us. It's adventurous. Why do young guys enroll for war? They enroll for war because they know it's exciting until their friend falls. It doesn't work like that because we've already enrolled on the side of the victorious one. And then lastly, your identity will change. We've already touched on that. Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So the moment you walk through that door and you understand that God's speaking from this place of intimacy and He's leading you through His Spirit, that identity of being a son, if you are led by the Spirit, you are a son. Then identity dawns upon you and you feel, wow, this is what I'm living for. Not what I can do, but who I am in Jesus Christ. John Wesley, the guy who changed Europe and the UK around, he was on a boat actually back from America. He went to America to go and evangelize. And he saw this group of people, the Moravians. And they never, didn't look if they were afraid of anything. When the storms would come, they would just be singing songs. And there was no fear that he could see. And he spoke to one of the leaders and he said, "Why is this?" And the guy turned to him and he said, "Does the Spirit of God witness with your spirit that you are a child of God?" He said, "If you're a child of God, the storms can rage, but you will know that God's on your side." Okay, let's stand. Okay, I want all our eyes closed. It's a great day to make a change in your life. It's a great day to start living differently. And some of you still need to make the decision to follow Jesus with everything in your heart. You've never encountered this amazing spiritual spirit called God the Father. Never in your life. If that is you, while all eyes are closed, I want you to say, "God, I call out to you today, and I want to meet this God that loves me." Just raise your hand very high. Very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then the second group of people that I just felt God wants to introduce to this new and wonderful way of living from heaven, from the kingdom of heaven, is you've had an encounter with God and you've maybe even been in a charismatic church and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Maybe you can even speak in tongues, but you've sort of neglected the reality that God is more real than the chair you're sitting on. And you are frustrated. You're frustrated with everything. You're frustrated with the church. You're frustrated with everything. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. You want to say, "God, today I embrace that you are spirit. And I embrace the working of the Holy Spirit in me." Just raise your hand very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those hands. You can put them down again. And then the last one that I sense, I feel God wants to set people free from secret addictions. Like, you tell everybody that you don't have an alcohol problem, but you actually have an alcohol problem. You tell people that you don't have a problem with your rage, but you actually have a problem with your rage. You need to go and rage somewhere else just so that nobody will see you. And God wants to deliver you of that. Maybe even you're trying to keep your smoking away from your friends. Everybody already knows it, but because you smell like smoke. But you want to be set free from that. I just sense that God's saying that He wants to set you free from that. And if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to tell you that there's an opportunity, a window of grace this morning for you to step into this life that you can live differently with God's help. Because there's actually so much available to break that bondage over your life. And we want to walk a road with you, because it's not only a once-off thing. You're going to be delivered and set free today, but you need to walk in that holiness. So if that's you, I'm going to call up the worship band forward. If you need to respond to the altar call that I gave, I want you to come forward. Run forward. To say, "Jesus, today I'm going to change. In the beginning of 2017, I'm going to change. you raise your hand, I want you to come forward. Don't be shy. This God is, he is waiting with his arms wide open. And he's giving you the resources to make that change. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just let's close our eyes. Let's pray with these people. You can just all agree with me. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray out loud with me. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you've made a way to the Father that loves me. And I choose now to walk through this door to receive forgiveness for my sins. All those ugly ones. All those secret ones. And I receive the blessing and the Spirit of adoption. Come and change me, God, so that I can live differently and showcase your glory to the world out there. In the name of Jesus. I think we can do one song. Let's take this worship song into the new year. God loves you. He wants to be with you. If the facilitators can come forward and pray. If you need prayer, please. This is a good day to be prayed for. Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you that you give us an invitation to come to you who is the source of life. Father, I just sense there are still some of us here this morning that are fearful. We are fearful. And Lord, you are speaking to us and saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. I love you. I do not want to harm you. I want to give you a future. I want to give you hope. I want to give you peace. I want to give you life. And Father, as we stand before you, Father, I just sense there's some people that still need to respond to that invitation of life. And I don't know what is keeping you from it, but whatever is keeping you from responding to God, it is a lie. And this morning you have an opportunity to break the power of that lie over your life. I don't know what it is, but if that is you this morning and you know God is calling you, you know you want to respond to it, but there's something keeping you back. I don't know what it is, but there is power in your faith to break that. And I want to encourage you to come forward. I know there's still some of you that need to come forward, but by coming forward, you're not just responding to something, you are breaking something. You're moving from something to something else. And if there's somebody here this morning that still needs to respond, I want to give you an opportunity right now. While all the eyes are closed, it doesn't matter. It's not about the people. It's about the power of a lie that you break in your life, that you are not worthy, that it does not work. It is not that simple. It is a lie. So if that is you this morning, I want to ask you to come forward even right now. I don't know who you are, but you need to come. So we're just going to worship for a moment, but if that's you, I want you to come forward, and we want to break the power of the lie over your life, that you may receive the fullness of what God has for you. So as we continue, if that is you, just come forward. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.